Hello, everyone, and welcome this Monday morning. It is now the first day of March. We're beginning a new week together. My name is Joanne. Well, thank you so much for coming along with me as we look at the Word of God. This is actually take two. I had a coughing fit, and so I am actually having to start over a little bit. So I hope that doesn't happen again. Just going to dive into some things from the weekend. Just had an amazing weekend at church. And I want to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise for what He is pouring out on a body of believers. Our expectation is being raised. Our level of faith is being raised that every time we come, we get to encounter Jesus. We get to encounter the power and the glory of God. So I'm just so thankful today. I am excited about what God is doing, the momentum that is being created, and what He has in store. I don't think this is just a one church thing. I believe this is a kingdom thing. I believe we're just right on the cusp of moving into a season where we're going to be seeing this great outpouring of God. And so if you have not yet jumped on or jumped into this, it is not too late. The joy, the worship, the praise, it's just going to a whole new level. I have even felt God pulling me into a deeper level in my praise and worship because He's worthy of it. Okay. And I don't think we can always do the same thing and get the same result. I believe it's always laying down more of our lives, you know, surrendering more to Him. And so one of the things that the Lord has been doing in my life is in the area of worshiping Him with dancing. It's not a new thing to me. I think it might be kind of new in the context that I'm in because not a lot of the congregation dances, okay? But sometimes God has to pull us to a place where we're not concerned with people's opinions of us, only concerned with getting free. Because I'll tell you what, the freedom that He brings in the moment, it is worth so much more than people's opinions of us. Like David said, I'll be even more undignified than this. And so Jesus is worthy of that. I mean, for everything that He is doing and everything that we're seeing, He is worthy of a lavish offering of praise. So let Him pull you into more. A couple of scriptures that we refer to in the dancing, Psalm 30:11, where it says, "You've turned my mourning for me into dancing. You took off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness." Psalm 149, verse 3, where it says, "To praise Him with the dance." I looked up the definition of dance, and I was surprised at the root of this word, what it actually means. It talks about being pained and travailing and trembling and bringing forth. Almost sounds like childbirth, okay? It also talks about being grieved, being wounded, and shaking something off. And then it says to dance. And I'm thinking, okay, how does dancing fit in with all these other things? And it was exactly what I experienced yesterday. There are certain movements that we do with our body that the Holy Spirit leads us into that it actually frees us. And it's like we're having to bring forth a dance that actually breaks free. You know, it's almost like giving birth to a child. You know, you push through and then there's your freedom. There's your joy. You know, that your expectation, you know, you experience and encounter the risen Lord and, you know, just His glory comes at a whole new way. So I don't know if the Lord is talking to you about your worship. You know, for some people, it just means singing. For some people, it might mean clapping their hands or lifting their hands or kneeling. You know, whatever the Holy Spirit draws you into in your worship to do is so that you can get free and you can free other people around you in the room. Something that the Lord was speaking to me over a week ago. It was about, you know, it talks about cleaning the inside of the cup and then the outside will be clean as well. That inward change worked on the inside of us, it brings an outward effect. And we're going to talk a lot today about the externals and the internals. And the, you know, often we want externals to change, but do we want the inner change that God wants to bring to us on an inner level? Let's talk about repentance, okay? Because I kind of think repentance is a word that people try to steer away from. And, you know, I think they actually, or we actually, it's like, well, I don't need to repent of anything. Well, we always need to repent. I mean, if we're going to be changed from glory to glory to glory, then that means there has to be some type of change being worked on the inside of us if we want to go to the next level. You know, sometimes we think of repentance as, you know, just this long, arduous, grievous process, you know, where we're just crying to God and feeling like a slug for a while. But I don't think that's exactly what repentance means. Yeah, there's a time for contrition over our sin, or if we've, you know, realize we've been wrong and God changed me, I didn't realize I was causing you that pain, or I didn't realize I was causing someone else that pain, and you know, we're grieved in our heart to the point that we want to change. Yeah, that's repentance too. It might cause a little bit of pain, but my gosh, the resurrection life that comes from it and the transformation is it's a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. And I think about this tree of life. We get to eat from it, and so does everyone else. You know, there's enough fruit on a tree to feed multitudes of people. The word repentance for me, pent actually talks about, you know, the high place. You think about a penthouse suite at the top of the building. Repent means return to the high place with God. I mean, if there was ever a point in our life that we were closer with God than we are right now, we need to repent. We need to return to the high place with God. And anything in our life that has competed with God, it needs to be forsaken and let go right now, because God's getting ready to pour out anything that's caused a distraction, anything that has captured our affections or our attention, you know, that's not God. I was listening to Jeremy Riddle this week. He's got a new message out on YouTube, and he talks about a 1% change and how, man, just allowing God to search our hearts, you know, Lord, show me, is there anything that has captivated my attention more than you? And then making a 1% change and the difference that that can make on the other 99% of ourself. God can use the 1% if we'll lay it down. We'll surrender and just have the will to come back and to lay everything down for him. You know, when we allow inner change on the inside of us, there's a joy, man, there's a life on the inside of us, there's a peace. It's Jesus, and people are drawn to that. And they want to know what that is. They want that themselves. But oftentimes we want externals in our life to change without having change on the inside. And it just doesn't work that way. It's like we end up trying to arrange all these details of our life so that we can be in peace. But it's not the John 14 peace where Jesus said to us, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, the externals, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And I've actually heard it said that that's actually two different kinds of peace that Jesus was talking about. Peace I leave with you. Then he says, my peace I give to you. Well, what was Jesus's peace? And that's what we're going to talk about next. Jesus, in the midst of all the chaos and the turmoil that was surrounding him, he stayed in peace. his peace was not dependent upon the externals. Because, I mean, we read all through the Gospels about, you know, the chaos and the conflict going on around him. The religious leaders, they accused him of having a demon and wanted to kill him. Okay? Jesus was actually on the run part of the time, you know, staying hidden to where he wouldn't be, you know, arrested by the religious leaders. His own family, at one point, scripture says, thought he was out of his mind. They thought he had gone mad. And so his family thought he was crazy. Religious leaders thought, you know, accused him of having a demon, accused him of being illegitimate, you know, and being a son of the devil. So, I mean, but Jesus stayed in a place of peace. He did not allow those externals, what others thought of him, derail him from doing what the Father said. He continued to do the will of God. And therefore, because he stayed in that place of peace, he's able to give us that kind of peace. That's his peace, to stay in alignment with the Father in spite of externals. You know, it's like the peace be still to the storm. He was in the midst of the storm, but the storm didn't get inside him. Okay, that's Jesus's peace. That's the peace he gives to us. Wow, God. There's a passage of scripture that is in Hebrews. It came up today in the radio broadcast. And I believe Hebrews was written by Paul. That's my own personal opinion. It never says that, but it says in Hebrews 10:34, you had compassion on me in my chains. And he goes on in the same verse talking to the Hebrew readers. You joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. You see, the believers in this area, they were so persecuted that it's believed that people came in and plundered their homes and their goods, but it says that they accepted it joyfully. You know, people coming into their house and taking what is theirs and staying in that place of joy on the inside. And he goes on to say, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Let's talk about doing the will of God. There is no greater place of peace than being in the will of God and knowing that you have done the will of God, that you have done what he has told you to do, and it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks or says. You know you've heard God, you know you've done his will, and you can stay in that place of peace. You know he's going to take care of you. Here's another quote. It says that peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is the presence of righteousness. And that righteousness is Jesus Christ. I also referred to this meme. Let's see if I can find it again. It's on my phone. I'm flipping through photos. Here it is. The secret is Christ in me, not a different set of circumstances. And so when we have done the will of God, Christ is formed in us, and with that comes his peace. There is no peace like being in the will of God and doing what he's told us to do. And so, yeah, we may be experiencing external conflict, but this is the promise, it says. It says, after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And here it is, for yet a little while, and he who is coming, he will come, and he will not delay. You see, we're wanting a lot of the external chaos to end. Jesus's promise is, hey, I'm coming, and it's going to be quick, okay? Goes on to say, the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition or destruction, but who believe we press forward to the saving of the soul. God is just saying, hang in there. You keep doing the will of God. You keep staying in that place of peace, and I'm going to be coming, and it's going to be quick. Okay? So just encouragement today. That the inner change, the inside of us, staying in that place that God wants us to be in, doing what he has told us to do, abiding in that place of peace and rest in spite of what's going on the outside. I'll tell you what, God's going to be coming quick, okay? He's going to be straightening it all out. So I hope you have a great start to your week, a great start to your month. God is with you, whatever that looks like for you. You stay in that place of peace. Yeah, I just bless you. The peace that Jesus has, he gives to us. Until next time.